You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.
But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment.
Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court.
And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny.
You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery.
But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell.
It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce.
But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery.
Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made.
But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one.
Good morning, and to you all. It's lovely to see so many of you. So, we're going to be looking at that reading a little bit more detail. Just by way of introduction, who remembers or who has seen this advert from the 1970s? Does anyone remember that? Well, that advert is actually going to be celebrating its 40th birthday next year. And whether you remember it or not, perhaps like me, when you saw it for the first time, it certainly caught people's attention. And maybe like me, you wondered whether the man was really just held on the board with the wallpaper paste or something stronger. Well, you're not alone. And I also recall that a programme at the same time, I can't remember which one, though, investigated whether that advert was true. And it found that, indeed, it was. So it was following the guidelines of the Advertising Standards Association. In other words, this was a product that you could trust. And even now, almost 40 years later, the packaging, which is very simple, and I have one here... has really no words to stress that it's super strong, just the little man on the board in the top. So basically just saying and reassuring, you can trust me. So I wonder whether there are some similarities between the Solvite man and our reading this morning. Now, at this point, you may well be thinking that I've lost the plot a little bit and I've gone a little bit mad. But certainly I do wonder whether there are some similarities or relevance with the Sermon on the Mount. Firstly, and whilst I know this is a little bit of a tenuous link, there was height involved. The 12-stone man was up high, attached to the helicopter. We don't know how high the man was suspended from the ground, but likewise, we also don't know exactly where the mount was. So, therefore, we can't be sure where Jesus was speaking from. But some think that it was about 175 metres high above the Sea of Galilee, which is equivalent to almost the same height as the HSBC building in London. Now, whilst I appreciate, you know, there'd be a gradual incline, it is pretty high. The advert of the man on the board was also quite a bit of a radical way, well, really very radical, to prove or convince people that the paste could be trusted. And likewise, Jesus was sharing something which in his day was also very radical. How to live in Jesus' kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And what about the paste itself? Well, that's made of a whole heap of chemicals, including, I hope I get this right, I'm going to have to refer to my notes, sodium hydroxide, polymeric biguanide hydrochloride, and some others that I definitely can't pronounce. So won't even try, but I was relieved to learn on the data sheet in the composition comments that in fact it's a potato starch, carboxymethyl ether, sodium salt with fungicide to inhibit mould growth. I could read that. Jesus obviously didn't use a physical paste to make things stick with people. Instead, what he used were words, priming people to hear something radical every time he said, "But I tell you." We haven't got time now to look at each of those "but I tell yous," but if you want to explore more deeply those sayings, then do come and join us at Going Deeper, because that's what we're going to be doing there. But let's just maybe look at one of those "but I tell you," in verses 33 to 37. And this is about swearing oaths, or a more simple way of seeing this is making promises. So let's see if there are some ways that what Jesus shared all those years ago might stick with us this morning. When someone breaks a promise or doesn't do what they say they're going to do, how do you feel? Disappointed? Let down? Angry? Maybe we're sitting here wondering whether what Jesus was saying was that making promises to people is wrong. But perhaps another way of thinking or looking at this is to ask the question, was Jesus just saying it is better not to make promises if you're not going to keep them? These verses help us see that in the laws that had been said to people long ago, the people were encouraged to keep the promises they'd made to other people, especially if they were promises made to God. This makes sense, obviously. If we don't keep our promises, we end up letting people down. However, these verses, by Jesus saying, "But I tell you," Jesus is going one step further by saying that we shouldn't have to make a promise for people to be sure that we will do what we say. Jesus was highlighting that our agreements and promises to other people represent a very real exchange that needs to be honoured. So failing to keep your word steals something from the person to whom you've given it. You take back your promise. Jesus is also showing us that if you promise something and swear an oath on something for which God has responsibility, i.e. anything and everything, then if you break your word, you steal God's reputation. Jesus was saying that we should be known as people who are always truthful, And therefore, we will have no need to emphasise what we say by making promises. Maybe one way to think about this is to say it, mean it, do it. Why don't we all say that together? To say it, mean it, do it. Let's say it one more time. To say it, mean it, do it. But why is this important? Well, over the last 10 months, we've been journeying through the Bible, considering the image of God and how we can display that image, and in particular, Jesus, in the way we live our lives. I don't know about you, but I wonder whether from just exploring these few verses and committing to say it, mean it, and do it, that this is one very radical way, even more radical than the man pasted on the board, that can show God's image to humanity. Just imagine what would happen in church, our neighbourhoods, and our different social settings if we all began to model that way of keeping our promises by saying it, meaning it, and doing it. Lord God, we ask this morning that you would enable us to live our lives in a way that shows that when we say something, we mean it, and we do it. In Jesus' name, amen.